Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Thank you, Alan. Nice way to start the service off. I want to welcome you all to worship this morning. Hope you're doing well. There are announcements that have not been highlighted in the bulletin that we need to highlight.
We could use some flowers for the month of April and May. If you have somebody you'd like to remember or celebrate, please do so with flowers on some Sunday during the next month or two.
Okay, great. And we're going to welcome those who join us online and those who join us on the radio. And I'm going to ask all of you to please have an attitude of prayer as we come into worship this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The call to worship. The Apostle John told us, "We want to tell you about the one who was from the beginning. We have seen him with our own eyes, heard him with our own ears, and touched him with our own hands."
Our family is united by our connection with the Father and his Son Jesus, the Anointed One.
Now, this is the message we have heard from him and announce to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
If we walk in the light, as he
The hymn is Christ is the World's Light.
Comes from the Gospel of John 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
The time for singing has come. The time for singing has come. The time for singing a joyful song to God the Lord has come. The time for praising is here. The time for praising is here. The time for praising the Lord above with songs of love is here. Oh, the winter is past, the cold is over and done. The flowers appear on the earth, the world's awakening begun. The time of sorrow is gone, the hour of grieving is through. The heart rejoices to greet the dawn, and hope is born anew. The time of singing is gone, the time of singing is gone. The time for singing is joyful songs, to God the Lord has come. The time
yeah.
Start out this morning talking about doubts, dealing with doubts. 19th century Scottish preacher and author Henry Drummond wrote a pamphlet that was entitled Dealing with Doubt. And in it he said this: we are born questioners. Look at the wonderment of a little child in its eyes before it can speak. The child's great word when it begins to speak is why. He then went on to say, this is the incipient doubt in the nature of man. It is a part of man as God made him. Doubt is the prelude of knowledge. That echoes the thoughts and the words of the philosopher René Descartes. He wrote a book entitled Principles of Philosophy. And as a reminder for those of you who've ever heard of Descartes, it's because of his one sentence, I think, therefore I am. But in his philosophy that he wrote, he says this about doubt. If you would be a real seeker after truth, it is necessary that at least once in your life you doubt, as far as possible, all things. Doubt is the prelude of knowledge. If you will be a real seeker after truth, doubt. Even for people who have never read the New Testament or have very seldom read it, most people know the Apostle Thomas. The phrase, doubting Thomas, used to describe someone who questions the report of another. But as Drummond and Descartes tell us, doubt is part of our nature. It is needed for us to seek and to find the truth. And I would suggest that genuine, sincere doubt keeps us engaged in our mind and in our hearts. Doubt keeps us questioning. Doubt keeps us searching for answers. Last week, after we celebrated Jesus' resurrection, that morning when he comes out of the tomb, but have you ever considered what happened that evening and even the following week? That night, Jesus' first day out of the tomb, 10 of the disciples are gathered in a locked room. They're afraid of the religious leaders who more than likely would be coming for them to arrest them to finish off the Jesus movement. And for whatever reason, Thomas is not with them. Maybe he was the only one brave enough to go out into the streets of Jerusalem and buy food. Or maybe he drew the short straw and they threw him out of the door, screaming and yelling, no, I don't want to go. For whatever reason, that first night, Thomas was not with them when Jesus makes his appearance and says, peace be with you. And when Thomas does rejoin them, he gets overwhelmed by 10 voices telling him what he has missed. It's no longer the single voice of Mary Magdalene saying she has seen the risen Jesus. It is a whole chorus saying, we have seen the Lord. And Thomas is doubting something. Maybe he doubts the sanity of his friends. Maybe he doubts the identity of the person who they claim to have seen. Or maybe he doubts that a man who was crucified by the Romans and laid in a tomb for 3 days could come back to life. That is certainly something that even 2,000 years ago people would have doubted and questioned.
Whatever it is that Thomas doubts, I would ask you to consider the group dynamics of the disciples. A week after Jesus' first appearance, Thomas is still with them. He has voiced his doubts, and they have not thrown him out. And despite his doubts, he continues to join with them. The doubter and the doubtless were still coming together for fellowship. And actually, it seems that it's Thomas's doubting that gives us Jesus' second appearance to them. Doubt is the reason Jesus comes to them, at least as it appears in John's gospel. After Jesus greets them, he turns right to Thomas and says, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And I'll tell you, there's an intensity in that last sentence that really doesn't come through in a lot of the English translations. The better way to translate that last sentence is this: stop being without faith and have faithfulness. Now, we've just considered a preacher and a philosopher who say doubt leads to knowledge. Doubt leads to truth. And I think Jesus' statement implies it leads us to both. We have knowledge of God's truth, and it's all contained in the risen Jesus. When Thomas sees Jesus, he comes to trust in God's truth. And then Thomas does something that no other disciple has done yet. Not Mary, not the 10. Thomas makes a confession, "My Lord and my God." Thomas has come to a spiritual understanding of who Jesus is, and that understanding transforms all of them. I mean, think about it. For 3 years, the disciples have traveled with Jesus. They have been listening to his teachings. They have been watching him perform miracles. Their experience with Jesus had started to change them. It started to form them into something more than just a group of students. They were becoming the body of Christ, the church. And despite the difficulties and the differences that they had over those 2 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, they sought to maintain the health of their community. And that's what I want us to really consider this morning. How do we become and stay a healthy community of faith, a church? Over the years, there have been a number of programs called Strive for Five. You might recall a few years ago, Wegmans used that phrase to encourage people to eat more fruits and vegetables. University of Alabama had a program with that title. It encouraged people to take 5 weeks to improve their health in 5 areas: eating, sleeping, thinking, moving, and drinking. So it seems that this idea of 5 areas is a good place for us to start to maintain our health, even spiritually. Now, despite all of his doubts, Thomas, I think, was a rather healthy person when it came to his spiritual life. Just consider what he went through in those 2 weeks. He sees Jesus arrested, tried, crucified, and buried. One of the inner core of 12 disciples betrays Jesus, Judas. One of the leader disciples denies knowing Jesus, that's Peter. And then 10 of them and Mary start saying they've seen him alive. Despite all of this strangeness that's been going on, Thomas stays true to them and to Jesus, all of them. And as a result, they are changed. They're changed from being fearful and scared, and they are turned into a dynamic spiritual force, all because of the risen Jesus. So from their experiences, I would suggest that there are 5 things that we need to do. Our spiritual Strive for Five that I think will help to deepen our faith as individuals and deepen our faith as a church. The first one is proximity. Amid our doubts and our concerns in our life, we need to be like Thomas. We need to keep ourselves connected to the church, the body of Christ. The reality is, not one of us can survive on our own as a follower of Jesus. New Testament tells us, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. See those words? Let us together one another. We are a community. We are a community of faith. And it's only our relationship with each other, it is through our coming together with each other, that we are spiritually fed. We need proximity. The next one is pray. Pray in private. When you read the Gospels, you see time and again that when Jesus is excusing himself from the disciples or the crowds, he is doing so he can go off by himself and spend time with God. Gospel of Luke says this, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When you go off by yourself to pray, remember this, you are never alone. God is there with you. In the silence of maybe doubts, of concerns, your joys, all of this can be shared with the one who created you. And in your sorrows and in your joys, God is there. God is listening to your prayers. Third one of the spiritual strive for five, pray in community. New Testament says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Every week, we share our prayer needs here, and we seek to remember each other in prayer throughout the week. You might not recall the situation, but you know who asked. So you say, God, just be with them. Be with their family and their friends. I mean, God knows the needs better than we do. But our connection as a community of faith grows deeper when we pray for each other and when we pray together. Fourth area is practice. Putting something into action. Praxis is exercising your faith in your everyday life. In the classic Bible verses in the book of James, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Our faith must be made known by our words and by our deeds. But it's not just our faith that we make known by what we do. God's love is shown to the world around us by what we as followers of Jesus do and say. In his first letter, John wrote this, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Even on those days that we have doubts, we can still seek to show love to one another. And the last spiritual strive for five is this, praise. The psalmist said, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Did you notice there how many times praise is in those two sentences? Praise God. The world is God's creation, and God has lent it to us to give us life. We have food and water. We have family and friends. All of the good gifts are ours, and God has given them to us. For that alone, God is worthy of our praise. But beyond creation, we know that God loves us and God seeks us out. He sent Jesus to reveal that to us, and what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And for that love and that mercy that was shown to us on the cross, for the hope of eternity that we have in his resurrection, for all of that, God is worthy of our praise. If we truly want to be modern-day disciples of Jesus, then we need to live like they did. On the days that we are doubting Thomas's, or on the days that we are full of faithfulness, we need to keep proximity. We need to pray privately and corporately. We need praxis, putting our love and our faith into action. And it takes praise, worshiping and thanking God for all of that. Thanks be to God.
Good. Please stand and take your hymnals. We're going to sing Easter People, Raise Your Voices. Now, in that resurrection power, with the confidence of the risen Christ leading you and guiding you and showing us how to love one another the way he loved us, so that the world will know that we are his. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.